It's dark. It's dark. Who was Jehoshaphat? Why was he jumping? Seriously, why should that matter to us? That's where we're going. The phrase, as far as we know, first appeared in an American novel in 1865, even though it had to be used before that, so it got into the novel, I think. But who was Jehoshaphat? He was a very good, powerful king who led one of the greatest reforms in the history of Israel. It was actually in the kingdom of Judah, turning the entire kingdom back to God. And in our scripture reading this week, we saw how God was with him, moved through him in an amazing way. So let's go to the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles. We're going to take some selected readings because this is a long section, and we're just going to work our way through it this morning. So you want to keep your Bibles open before you and follow along. And remember, as you do, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. God's Spirit moves through His Word to speak to us individually, personally. So here we go into 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 4. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites, with some of the Menunites, came to war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar," that is, En Gedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. What you see here is a national prayer meeting. And this isn't after the attack has happened. I mean, we had that happen when we had a prayer meeting in our home on September 11th, and people that we didn't even know showed up because they knew I was a pastor and something was going on. No, this is before the attack even comes. A large army is preparing to invade, and what is Jehoshaphat's response? Other kings would have sent out the army, called in alliances, sought negotiations. But Jehoshaphat, he's a different breed of cat. He's got a different kind of wisdom. Mark that, a different kind of wisdom that would look like foolishness to some. He's mustered the army, I'm sure, but they haven't marched out. He surveyed the situation, and it doesn't look good. So he calls everyone together. And don't miss this. He isn't just doing this on his own. He recognizes there is power in praying together. That's really important. Really important. And he isn't, again, this isn't prayer as a last resort. This is prayer as a first resort. We need to do something, and one of the first things we need to do is we need to pray. What if that were our wisdom more in life? What if we really continued to go there more as a church? So here he is. He's standing in front of the people. He's not the only one praying. You know, this isn't like those National Day of Prayer meetings that you stand by and see these higher mucky mucks come in and they say this prayer that sounds good. No, everyone's praying. Sorry, I'm not a big fan of those meetings because I think what Jesus said about Pharisees praying in front of others, and, you know, he always kind of convicts me of that. Be careful when you do it. Anyhow, killed that sacred cow. So here we are. Notice, again, God's Spirit moves in the heart of one of the men standing there. It's not the king. It's someone else. It's a Levite, the clan that oversees the temple. Actually, interesting, his heritage. We'll get to that. But look at verse 12 and following. Jehoshaphat prays, "Our God, will you not judge them?" You see, the people who are invading are people who, when Israel came into the promised land, they just asked if they could pass through. They didn't attack them. But now these people are attacking. "We do not know what to do." And keep in mind where Jehoshaphat is. David has already occurred, right? I mean, this is later in the history of Israel. And now the kingdom is no longer as strong, and these surrounding kingdoms see their opportunity. Oh, let's come in. Take what we can. "Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Now get this. Look at who's here at this meeting. This isn't just some National Day of Prayer, pro forma kind of thing. All the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones, they've got the toddlers there, stood there before the Lord. "Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph." Who was Asaph? Oh, he was one of the three musicians in charge of worship under David. He wrote psalms. You see psalms of Asaph in the Bible. He was considered in some ways a prophet, and it's interesting how the Spirit of God has moved through this family. But this descendant speaks up. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all you who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." Jehoshaphat bowed down. He recognizes the Spirit of God is in these words. He bows down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites from Kohath, from the Kohathites and Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. What a picture. This is amazing. They call a prayer meeting and God shows up. And it's clear, and you know how that is. You know when you know that God has spoken to you. And that's what's happening here. This is, the whole community, wives, children, little ones. And who are they? They are the ones who would be most helpless in a war like this. And oh, don't you look at things like this and long for this in our own country? This own kind of heart for prayer? And where is that going to start if it doesn't start with us? Don't we need to consider this in our own lives? And if we need to amend in this and make some adjustments, then wouldn't that be a good thing for us to do? It's easy to talk about those people. It's another thing to say, 7 o'clock, I'm going to pray. Jehoshaphat prays this amazing prayer. We have no power to face this vast army. We have no power to face this vast army. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. What a great prayer to make part of your daily routine. This is the king. What a humble prayer for the king to pray. We don't know what to do. When was the last time you heard a national leader say that? We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And the interesting thing is that with God, that's a very good place to be. So one of the priests, this descendant of Asaph, who was, again, chief musician under David, filled with God's Spirit, gives them God's response. And think about this. God gives them the exact location of where the army is going to come in. But then he says, they won't have to fight, but go out to meet them. I think there's a picture in that of what it means for God to fight our own battles. We are to prepare ourselves, right? Notice in verse 16, they are to march down against them. In other words, the army musters. The army suits up. They take out their weapons. They are, look at verse 17, to take up their positions and stand firm. Interesting. But then look at these words, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow and the Lord will be with you. Sometimes we have to face our fears. We have to do everything that we can to prepare ourselves. But oh, if we have prayed first, the difference it makes as you and I are in that place. The interesting thing is they don't know what God is going to do. They've simply been told that they won't have to fight. They're not told how. Now, you may be wondering at that point, is it okay to kind of take this and extrapolate it so that we can apply it for our own lives? I mean, wasn't this just, I mean, some obscure event in Israel's history? What does that have to do with me? Well, first of all, Jehoshaphat was one of the ancestors of Jesus. If something had happened to him in that battle, imagine. But what this really shows us, I mean, just to boil it all down, is the importance of seeking God from the heart. It doesn't matter what your position is. It doesn't matter what your training is. It doesn't matter what weapons you may think you have in your corner. Seek Him first, right? Prayer as a first resort. And don't only seek Him on your own. Seek Him with others. There's wisdom in the counsel of others as God's Spirit moves through them. This is why praying together is so important for us as Peace Church. And we have found that God has always provided for us. God has always made a way. God has blessed us in such beautiful ways as we pray. And if we do that with faith, you know, right now, for example, we mentioned youth and kids ministry. What a great prayer to pray. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Oh, sure, we could come up with all kinds of plans, right? But we want God's Spirit, God's leading. And these principles don't change. If you are not a person who is committed to prayer, you need to ask yourself, what am I missing? We need to ask ourselves, what would I see? What answers would I see if I let God in a little more? What if I just took that step? What would happen? How would I hear Him more? What changes would I see in my life? And this isn't a quantitative thing. This is a heart thing. This is a matter of how God moves in our hearts through His Spirit as we keep company with Him. That's where He wants us. That's where we want to be. So what they're doing is they're walking, or in this case, marching by faith. And watch what Jehoshaphat does next. Verse 20, early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." Oh, to have leaders who have faith. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of the holiness of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." Okay, got that picture? Now how about this question? Where's Jehoshaphat? Where is he? I mean, you've got these people praising God, singing in front of the army. Jehoshaphat's a descendant of David. He remembers what happened when they brought the ark into Jerusalem. I don't know if it happened this way. Maybe it's where the phrase comes from. Who leads armies? The king. So he's out front. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's jumping. I don't know. That's not biblical. But he's praising God and leading people in the praise of God. That's the beautiful thing. Have faith in the Lord your God, you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. Just imagine this for a moment, though. This is so counterintuitive to human wisdom. Paige, Jarek, get out front. Think about that. Not the howitzers. Putting the musicians out front and praising God because they are trusting God for what he has shown them. It's interesting as well, also, notice what they're doing. They're thanking God for something that hasn't happened yet. How can they do that? Because they've already met with him. They've met with him together as they have prayed together. And people, this is so true that we come together, when we come together to pray, and if you haven't experienced it, please do not doubt it. There is a special presence of God when his people come together. Sometimes it's palpable. You can feel it in the room. Not all the time. I mean, sometimes, it's a bad day when you're a pastor and you don't want to go to the prayer meeting, right? But I'd be lying if I said those days didn't occur sometimes. And of course, at that point, my wife gets out her notebook and says, "No, you have to go." No. But no, I mean, the point is that once I'm there for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, sometimes, it's like all of a sudden I realize the reason why I came. Remember what Jacob said? After he had that dream where there was the ladder, he wakes up. And he says, "Surely the Lord was in this place, and I didn't know it." And that's not just for you, Shirley. That's for everyone. God was in this place, and I didn't know it. Right? That's what happens as we gather together as his people. And sometimes we can see it and feel it, and sometimes we can't. But hang in there. Keep walking with Him. And you will. I promise you will. But He promises most of all. And this is why we need to pray together, not just prayer meetings, but together as a church, as we come together wherever we are, run into someone in the supermarket, you know? What a good chance to pray. See someone out on the street. Let's keep going. So, they're thanking God for something that hasn't happened yet. With this prayer, give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever. I love that because that's a forward-looking prayer. His love is never going to stop. Never going to stop. I mean, this is one of those moments in history where I wish I had a time machine, because nobody knows for sure what happened, how God did this. But let's keep reading. Verse 22. As they began to sing and praise, notice the timing, as they began to sing and praise. And I want to mention that praising God, that's one of the reasons why we started with the hymn or the song emphasizing, you know, oh praise Him, hallelujah. Because we need to do this. We need to make this a practice in our lives day by day. So as they began to sing and praise, verse 22, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Lord set ambushes. I don't know what that means. Maybe they had ambushes already waiting and they turned on each other. Nobody knows for sure. The Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked over the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off the plunder. They found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the Valley of Berakah, where they praised the Lord. This is why it is called the Valley of Berakah to this day. Hold on. I know time is short, but we can still beat the Baptist to the salad bar. Notice the split screen. As they begin to sing and praise, again, the Lord set ambushes. We don't know, again, exactly, but as they began to sing and praise, okay? Am I doing that? Are you doing that? Looking forward in faith? To the God whose love endures forever. What a good reminder. And it makes you wonder, how many battles of our life can be won by faith? By choosing to praise God? When the victory hasn't happened yet, to praise Him in advance? Everyone. That's right. That's right. Do we make a practice of this not just in church? Of course, this is one of the reasons why we want to come to church, because we want to help each other do this, and we need this, right? But also at other times in our lives, singing to God, loving Him, praising Him, looking forward to Him from the heart, wouldn't that help us? So again, here they come on the territory. The armies have fought themselves. There's nothing left of those armies except the stuff they left behind. And there's so much stuff. It takes them 3 days to carry it out. And then they gather together on the fourth day. And what do? They praise the Lord. Again, have you thanked Him for the victories He's given you? For the things He's done in your life? It's a good place to be. But that's not the only thing that happens. They changed the name of the place. It becomes the Valley of Berakah, which literally means the Valley of Blessing or the Valley of Praise. Okay? Look at that. As William Cowper once wrote, or Cooper once wrote, "Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face." In other words, those places that you and I dread so much, if we walk into them with God, if we praise God beforehand for his faithfulness in those places and stay close to him as we come up in them, then that place that we so much dread, Cooper writes again in that same hymn, "Ye feeble saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and will break in blessings on your head." That very place they dreaded so much becomes the Valley of Blessing for them. Where is that place in your life? Not just in the past, but where you're going now. Maybe it's a place you dread. What if we praise God for his faithfulness before you head into it? Even look at the 23rd Psalm. We looked at it in Sunday school this morning. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me," for you are with me. That's where the whole thing flips and it turns into a prayer. For it's talking about God, there it's talking to God. Have you talked to God about that place that you dread? Because with him, valleys of blessing can appear quite unexpectedly because of him. Because he is able to change everything, even us in the moment, even our perspective on a place. I love that. The place where the army was gathering to invade, that place. Valley of Praise. Valley of Praise. If we're with God when we face our battles, if I jump to praise before the fact, just because God's love endures forever, the same God who was with me in the past will be with me in the future. What battles in our lives will be changed if we take that perspective? Well, we could take the voice of unbelief and its counsel. Valley of Blessing is still a valley. Yeah. But that's what makes it a special place. Because when God meets you there, there's nothing better. That's a win. And we will take that every time. May we pray. Lord, we praise you. We praise you in advance because your love endures forever. We praise you for who you are. And those places that we're fearful of, Father, right now, we invite you into them. We give them to you, Father. We thank you that you are greater than any situation we face. And we ask you just keep us close. Help us to pray. Help us to praise you. Help us to sing to you. Help us to pray with others. Help us to just be your people. Because you are so good, and your wisdom is so far beyond ours. When we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you, even in that place, we are blessed. Blessed. Thank you, Father, for the blessing you are. In Jesus' name. Amen.